Well, Jesus had been teaching the disciples about prayer. The parable of the widow and the unjust judge just before today's reading teaches us to pray persistently. And the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector that you heard teaches us how to pray humbly. It has been said that there are two kinds of people who pray. One who prays because it is the proper thing to do, and those who pray because their lives depend on it. And as the story unfolds today, we learn that there are two people who went to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, who was a devout religious person in his day. He was an expert in matters of the Jewish law, and he attempted to observe every last detail. The other person who went to the temple was a greedy, crooked tax collector, probably the most despised profession in its day. At any rate, the tax collector's job was to collect a certain amount of taxes for the Roman government, and he was free to collect any amount over and above that and to pocket the rest as a profit. It was a salary. So in Jesus' day, this was an amazing contrast. You just wouldn't find any two people or professions any further apart. And the Pharisee prayed, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even this tax collector standing here for that matter. Well, I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of my income to the temple, and I observe all the rules." But the tax collector could hardly even pray. He was a broken man. He felt overcome with guilt, shame, and a sense of unworthiness. And he beat upon his chest, crying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Whose prayer do you think God took to heart that day? And which man prayed from the heart? Would you recognize these two people today? Well, there was once two men who went to a church. One had almost everything, and the other one had virtually nothing. One was a strong, well-respected pillar of the church community. The other was an outsider, unwelcome, unknown, unacknowledged. The former was a lifetime member of the church, a frequent teacher of the Bible, a member of the board, and he prayed, "God, I thank you that my parents always brought me to church. They taught me the Bible as a youth. They planted in my heart a sense of God's love and a strong commitment to your will. I give 10% of all my income off the top. I volunteer each month for Habitat Humanity. I tutor the underprivileged children at an inner city school. And I never drink to excess." Another man was seated near the rear of the church one day, and he only muttered, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner and a broken man." And that's all he could say. You see, when his business went broke, and after his marriage dissolved, and just before his unfortunate scrape with the law, he had begun coming to church, maybe out of desperation. But thus far, nobody had spoken to him. Nobody asked him to come to church or become a member. He had not connected with anyone. He felt lousy at prayer. He didn't know what words to say. He only knew that his heart ached and his future was bleak. And so the two men went home, respectively, after church one day. The longtime Christian man didn't get much out of the service. Something was missing for him. Nothing in worship touched his heart. He had already heard the scripture for the day. The music was a repeat of last week. The preacher didn't say anything that he didn't already know. Oh, well, perhaps next Sunday I'll try again, he thought. The other man, however, the newcomer that was down on his luck, he stayed seated in the pew long after the benediction, crying, sobbing, overcome with emotion. He wasn't sure why. But something happened to him during the service. And all he could say to anyone who would listen was, for the first time, the very first time, I know God loves me. How do you explain such different experiences? First of all, remember the reason for prayer. The purpose for prayer and meditation is to know and experience the Holy One and to allow God to be at the center of our lives. The old things that used to matter get pushed to the side. If we become too familiar or complacent in our prayer life like the Pharisee, we might lose sight of what is important, like the amazing nature of God's grace and love for us all. And even if we have known God and prayed for all of our lives, it's easy to forget the power of heartfelt prayer as we stand before God alone. Inevitably, there are two kinds of people who pray. Those who pray because it is the proper things to do, and those who pray because their lives depend upon it. Such was the second person who went up to the temple to pray, despised because of his work as a tax collector. This man came with almost nothing in his life. When he looked deep within, the tax collector saw his real self, and he didn't like what he saw. But there was room for God to work inside him and fill his life with grace and hope. Because he had already hit the bottom of the barrel, he was unable to pray from the heart. And so on this day, God heard his prayer. His soul was empty, and so there was room for God to fill him up. Prayer is not a life-changing experience if it only consists of asking God for the things we want or if we pray out of some sense of obligation. But prayer is a radical encounter with God that allows God to move to the center of our lives, bringing our lives into sharp focus through God's eyes. And when our prayer life becomes so much more honest and direct and open, maybe we begin to see ourselves more as God sees us. And that's when God's mercy and compassion and grace pours out upon us. Jesus said, as we're all familiar, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It's the very first beatitude in the Sermon on the Mount. While we were living in New Jersey a number of years ago, I had the opportunity to take classes at the Quellen Spiritual Center in Mendham, New Jersey. And the classes were intended to foster spiritual formation and to prepare one ultimately to be a spiritual director. But the thing that meant the most to me and that I got the most out of were not just the classes, but I went an hour early every week and spent an hour alone in the chapel before classes. And there I often prayed for my church and the people that had needs that week. I prayed for friends and family. And you're going to think this is funny, but I prayed that God would make it possible for us to move to California. And this was in the middle of the winter, and I really prayed fervently, God, how long? How long will you have us endure these New Jersey winters? It took 3 years, but finally God answered my prayer. But there was that quiet time alone with God. There was no phone, no talk, no one else around, no interruptions. And it took some getting used to at first. It was very unsettling. What do you do when you have nothing to do? Nothing, that is, except to spend time alone with God. In the beginning, God shows you all your imperfections, it seems like. You realize your poverty of spirit and how far you have to go, just like the tax collector in today's story. There is a certain restlessness as the thoughts from the day intrude and you're tempted to run away. And of course, we all have our long to-do list. But God says, stay, relax, put your phone away and spend some time with me, because there's nothing more important in all the world. Some people would say, well, they're too busy. I don't have an hour to spend alone with God. But the reality is you can't afford not to. Martin Luther of all people once said, the more he had to do, the more time he spent in prayer. The more things he had to do, the more time he spent in prayer. It's a paradox, I know, that doesn't make sense, and yet God makes it work. If you don't have an hour, spend 10 minutes. Speaking of prayer, we are so blessed here to have our prayer chain, thanks to Julie. I think you would all agree it's such an important part of who we are. How many weeks and months we prayed for Annie on that prayer chain. Our heart's delighted in being able to pray for you. And with the prayer chain, we could go back through the week and be reminded of all the needs and the people and pray for each one again. There was a time in my life when I felt one of the most helpful ways to pray was to write it out in a journal and just write those prayers and then maybe some months later go back and see how God answered those prayers. And so the question is, how is your prayer life today? How are you in God? Are you feeling a little far away from God at times? Feeling a little down or empty? Don't know what to pray for? The good news is that God meets us where we are, addresses our needs, even in the emptiness of our souls. When you're on top of the world and everything is going well, if your family is happy and healthy, and your career or retirement is on track, and you know the Bible by heart, and prayer comes easily, well, blessed are you. You're very fortunate. But if you've ever been humbled or hurt or humiliated, and you come to God empty-handed, as all of us have at one time or another, then this story is for you. Hold out your hands and receive God's gift. We call it grace, unmerited free grace, and it's amazing. All you have to do is ask. Pour out your heart to God like the tax collector. I love the tax collector and how he understood his own sense, his lack of worth, and his humility. Don't worry about what you ought to say to God or try to get your words right. Or maybe just listen for what God has to say to you in the silence of the moment. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save the lost. If you're well, you don't need a doctor. Jesus said, I've come for the sick, the hurting, and the brokenhearted. So many of Jesus' parables, you might notice, end with an unexpected twist or turn of events. The good and righteous Pharisee is not justified or made right with God, but the undesirable tax collector is justified and honored in the end. It's a funny thing. We thought all along that Jesus was talking about the tax collector. Now we know. He's really talking about us. There are two kinds of people who pray. Those who pray because they think it is the proper thing to do. And those who pray because their lives depend upon it. Which one are you? Amen.